Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to show number 195 of the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm just watching leaves come piling down in the yard. It's making me very sad again.
Yeah, it's nippy up here this morning. It's, it must have went down in the 50s anyways. And fall is right around the corner. It's tapping us on the shoulder.
Yeah, I know. The dog asked me to let him out at like 6 o'clock this morning. And, you know, I'm in shorts and, you know, not expecting you. The first time you open that door and that cold weather comes flying in.
Right.
He kind of woke me up like, whoa, what's going on out here?
Yeah, it is refreshing, but like we said, it's you know, summer is, its days are numbered, and, you know, gee, it's going to be September 1st, what, tomorrow or Tuesday?
Yeah, a couple days from now. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's summer went by very quickly, but it's the area we live in, the changing of the season, so we're used to it.
Nah, I'm used to it, but don't mean I have to like it.
Right.
You know, I'm outside yesterday trying to do the fall cleanup, like get the yard cleaned up, get things taken care of, and then I'm looking around and I see I have like, because I'm on a little bit shy of an acre, so I probably have about five, maybe 4 or 5 days of leaf pickup is what it takes me to do my leaves.
That's brutal. I don't have quite that much, but it's still a chore that I really don't, well, I guess snow shoveling is number one on the list of things I don't like
from
doing living
to
in
God's
New England.
Ears. No shoveling this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the Farmer's Almanac, though. They're predicting a pretty heavy snowfall this winter.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not even listening to it.
Plug your ears, and if you don't hear it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I heard. I read the almanac. The only thing I heard is it said multiple storms, but I haven't heard any bad ones.
Right. Maybe it'll. Yeah. Maybe it'll just be the depth of the snow. But it can't be as bad as last year.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh yeah, you had it real bad up there with the amounts.
Right.
No, but it's just sad. And the thing I have is I don't have I have the trees that. We have all different trees on the property.
Right.
So I have two on one side. They dump first.
Right.
And then the guy on the other side, he dumps next. And then two others will drop. And then the one has to wait till like almost beginning of October, beginning of November before he kicks his leaves.
Yeah.
So it's like I got 3 months of doing it.
Yeah, we lucked out on neighbors. You know, adjacent to us, they just cut down two huge pine trees that were, you know, on their property, but they were so massive, they overhung our property. And, you know, pine trees are very dirty trees with the pine cones and the pitch, and they're very brittle, as you know, and the branches are always snapping off. And it was just keeping that clean in the backyard was a pain. So they finally bit the bullet and had an arborist come out and cut them down. It must have cost them thousands of dollars to do it.
I've had five removed, and the cheapest one I ever had taken down was $700. So.
And that is cheap. But I mean, these things must have been, I'm going to say 4 or 5 feet in diameter. They were huge, huge, huge. And they, you know, branches were all, you know, stuck up there that had broken off over the years. And every time it got windy, we'd hear them creaking and cracking, saying, that's going to come down, you know. Mm-hmm. So we lucked out there. And then on the other side, we got somebody with a big oak tree. And You know how the oaks, the leaves will turn brown and they'll hold sometimes even through the winter. So yeah. That's another pain.
Yeah, they're the gutter cloggers, the oak trees.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a sap pine out in front of my house.
Yeah.
Which has, it's the same thing, and we still have it. And me and you, it's so big then that when it storms, I make the wife come downstairs in case it does come down. Because yeah, the monster covers my entire driveway.
Yeah, you're like my wife. She does that stuff. I look at it like this, and maybe say you're stupid, but
yeah,
if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
No,
I don't want to...
There's preventive maintenance, and don't wear a seatbelt and drive with your feet 1 foot out the window.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to...
Exactly.
Make text, too, while you're driving.
Right.
Don't do that, guys.
No,
anyway,
she'll go around and unplug all the appliances when the storm comes.
I don't do all that. It's just when it gets real bad, if you've seen the street, me and you could stand and try to wrap our arms around and we couldn't touch
our head. Yeah.
No,
that's how big these pine trees were. They were huge.
So this one here, it probably sits 20 feet above my house, if not bigger. And it's a monster, and that's why I bring her in. If it fell, the cars would go, they'd be smashed potatoes.
Right. It's amazing. I'm sure you've cut down plenty of limbs and branches in your day. I mean, it's amazing how heavy live wood is. It's deceiving, you know. It really is. You can really get hurt. And if something does come down, you're right, it'd go through your house like toothpicks.
Yeah, my first floor is all concrete of my house. It's all stucco. The second floor is wood. And we have a Cape Cod, Dan. It's not a normal. So the sheetrock's right to the studs. So there's nothing between you and the roof. I mean, you got
right.
6-8 inches. It isn't like a normal two-story where you have an attic.
Right, right.
You know,
it might take some of the...
Yeah,
the
blow.
Right.
There's nothing up there, so... But yeah, good old man winter's coming again. I can't wait to see the snow on the tree making the limbs hang down.
Well, hopefully eventually we'll just have, palm leaves to dig out of our gutters, just like the people down in Florida had to deal with Erica that kind of fizzled out, I guess, yesterday. The tropical cyclone they're calling it. They had thought it might turn into a hurricane, but luckily it didn't for all our friends down there in Florida.
Well, thank goodness. I mean, Mrs. G, Mama G, who I call her, she lives right, like I said, 20 minutes, a half hour from Disney World.
Right.
I told her, I said, Mama, if it gets too bad, get on your phone, call it, rent a room at any resort in Disney World. You'll have generators and you'll be safe.
Yep.
Go flee for the park because she lives by herself. She has a bunch of friends and all down there, but it's
right.
I told her, if it gets too bad, she goes, I never thought about it. I said, they're like bunkers over there. I said, go hop in one of those resorts and at least you'll have somewhere to go and something to do. We all have food.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've told this story before. I've had the pleasure or displeasure, however you want to look at it, of being in Disney World during three separate hurricanes. And it's just amazing what a good job they do and how safe you feel. I mean, you know, even Pop Century, if you think about the construction of the buildings, I mean, they're very, very well made. And I feel very safe down there on property. And I agree with you. If ever you're in Central Florida and you need to kind of batten down the hatches, that's a great option if they got rooms available, because many people do that.
Well, the thing of it is, too, is it's pretty good about their resorts is they don't have too many big towers. The biggest tower, I think, on property is Bay Lake Tower. Everything else is pretty much, you know, two or three stories. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's kind of consistent with, you know, Florida construction in general. I mean, you think about hotels like the Bee, which is, I don't know, I forget how many stories it is, but those buildings are much bigger than anything Disney has hotel-wise. I mean, you know, you got the structure like the Tower of Terror or something that's pretty high, but you're right.
Yeah, two stories is so much safer in those hotels than what, you know, the massive, that's why they don't do anything like in New York City or around here, like the Revel, 20 stories or 30, 40, 50 stories. They don't
right.
do anything like that in Florida because of all the hurricane laws and rules and regulations. But to me, the lower to the ground, the safer the hotel is going to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I said. And actually, when we first started going down to Disney World, we all saw a tornado had come through. Not Disney, well, there was a small one on Disney property, but a major tornado come up around, Route 4 there. And again, we just felt safe. And, you know, the TV started that, you know, when there's a, you know, imminent tornado sighting or whatever. So, yeah, I've been down there in all sorts of weather, and, you know, knock on wood, I've been fairly safe, and I feel safe. So it's all good.
Yeah, we've been through quite a few ourselves, because most of our trips have been, the majority of our trips have been August, September, October, which is hurricane season. And we spent a lot down there, and I've told the story before about September 11th when we were down there during that.
Oh, right, right.
Well, we left, and we were driving home because we were headed home, and then these storms come in. And literally, there was tornado warnings every town that we just left. It was like it was like Twister, like we were being chased out of Florida. It's like, get out of here, you darn Yankees, go home. But yeah, it was so scary. It was me, my wife, my mother, my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and my father, the five of us.
Wow.
And I felt like we were in Twister.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you know, I probably shouldn't say this because, you know, storms are dangerous and all that, and I get that. But, you know, part of me would love to see a tornado. I've never actually seen one, but, you know, I guess I shouldn't wish for something that terrible. But, you know what I mean? When you're in the middle of something like that, wouldn't you like to at least see one from afar anyways?
Well, me, I wouldn't mind seeing it from afar because, know how you get the water funnels?
Right, right.
I've seen them, and that's cool because nobody's getting hurt. I mean, the fish are getting a little drunk. But, you know, if you're on land and you see one, you know somebody's getting something somewhere. Unless it's dead out in the middle of field and it wants to spin on its own axis there.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing. And the thing is with Florida, with us leaving those days, if you notice in Florida, don't it seem like you could see the weather for miles down there compared to home?
Yeah, I think it's just because it's so much flatter. But yes, you're right. The horizon just seems to be, you know.
Forever.
You know, up here is, and down where you are too, you have hills and valleys and peaks, and, you know, you kind of, it breaks up the sight line. But you're absolutely right. In Florida, you can pretty much see to the, you know, horizon, which is, what, 12 and a half miles, I think.
Yeah, it just seems like you could see forever down there. When storms are coming, like, you could, look. Over there, there's something going on. It seems like you could tell where everything is.
Yep, absolutely.
But God bless everybody down there. Hope no real casualties happened during Erica, and hope everybody's okay. And sorry about whoever's on their vacation, but I guarantee if you stay out and you'll get on the rides quicker. Throw on a poncho and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's a time to do it. I mean, we've told the stories many a time. I mean, when it rains, it's a time to, you know, buckle up, get your ponchos, umbrellas, or whatever, and head to the parks, because you can pretty much get on and off everything if they, you know, sometimes, you know, the outside rides, Everest and such, may or may not be open, but, you know, all of your other attractions, you pretty much walk on, and the parks are empty, so it's an awesome time to tour.
I'd say they cut down by, like, what, 60-70%, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Oh, yeah, easy. And I understand it, because, you know, we tried that once or twice. You know, it's pouring, let's not, you know, let's just do this. And we've just come to the realization that, hey, it's our vacation week, it stinks. But, you know, we've had, I think, two over the years, total washouts. I mean, the whole week literally rained every day. It was miserable, but we just had to suck it up and make the best of it and still go out there and execute our plan, if you will, because, you know, the week is the week that you chose, and it is what it is as far as the weather goes.
No, that's how it was the week of September 11th. It was a nasty week. I think it was the nation was crying.
Oh, yeah, that was a very sad time.
It was sad times. I mean, the next day it was weird, though. Like, the sun came out. Everybody bought American flags, hats. Like, Disney had everything American possible out for everybody to buy.
Wow.
It was like I had hats, T-shirts. Everybody was pumping their chest out. We're proud to be, you know what I mean? We were all in that mode, but it rained off and on that entire week. It was like we did around the world with my dad. Every country, we had to stop in and wait for the rain to stop.
Yeah. We've had those before.
It was one of those trips. But hopefully everybody's safe and sound.
Yes.
Enjoy the most you can. Get the most out of the trip that you can. And, again, throw on the ponchos and make fun of it.
Run through
the puddles.
Exactly. I mean, I've literally seen them squeegeeing water down Main Street and over in Frontierland and stuff. I mean, the water was that deep. The catch basins just couldn't take that volume of water. And it was just amazing to see that amount of water just, you know, in the Magic Kingdom. It was just unbelievable.
Oh, I've been sometimes in Riverside when them storms go through. I feel like Swiss Family Robinson, especially when you're over at when you're at Alligator Bayou with all the trees and the foliage over there, and you stand. I love standing out on the upper deck and just looking out through the resort. When a storm comes through there, it is absolutely gorgeous. You literally feel like you're in a rainforest or something.
Oh yeah,
it's awesome.
It is. Each resort has its own little feel to it in itself, and then particularly during storms. I mean, I can remember even being at Pop Century when one of those hurricanes was coming through, and we were sequestered to our rooms, basically. And everybody came out on the balcony. You know, if you can visualize Pop Century, and people brought coolers out and, you know, just guests talking to guests because there was nothing to do. And, you know, people brought beer and wine and soda, and, you know, it was kind of like a little community while we were waiting out the storm. The way the wind was blowing, the reason we were able to do this, it was blowing like at our back. So the other side of the building was getting the brunt of the water and the wind. And on our side, you could pretty much stand out there and, you know, watch the storm, so to speak. So that was a pretty cool experience.
The sad part is all I heard through that whole thing was soda.
You know, soda?
I gave up soda. So yeah, you had to throw, they brought beer, wine, and soda in. You had to say soda. You're trying to get me hooked again, aren't you, Dan?
No, I didn't do that on purpose, buddy.
That's okay. I understand. But no, it's cool. I love standing out on the balcony there at Riverside during a storm. Many, many times I've been out there by myself, and Brent will be like, what are you doing? I just said, I just love it out here. It's just so peaceful. Like, you'll get like a... It's like one of those quick storms that go through, like, around dinner time, you know, late in the day, you get those thunderstorms.
Yep.
We'll be back at the resort while she's in showering or getting ready, and I hear the storm go by. I run out on the balcony. The wind's blowing.
Right.
Just, I feel, like, super cool out there. Like, I'm on a ship surviving. But you know what I mean. It's nice in that resort.
And the other good thing is, you know, if you were at home under the same circumstances, you'd have stuff to do. Oh, I got to roll the umbrella, you know, take the umbrella down. You know, you'd be running around probably doing stuff to prep your property or shutting the window, whatever it is, you know. But when you're down there, you don't have to worry about any of that. As long as your hotel room door is shut, that's about as much preparation as you got to do.
Absolutely. Here we have a big, I have a big awning on the back deck. It has the post with the cover on it.
Yeah.
Every time it storms, I love the thing. It gives us so much shade. I like sitting out there and relaxing. But when it storms, I got to come home from work sometimes and get it off because I know it'll rip to shreds.
Right, right. Yeah.
You're right. You're down there. You don't worry about it.
Right. You can just kind of enjoy nature, like you were saying, enjoy the storm, and, you know, a lot different than back home.
So what's next? We'll leave for Erica go.
Yeah. So this is minor news to me, maybe the gamers out there, this is big news, but Disney was once upon a toy at downtown Disney Marketplace, they were hosting an advanced preview of Disney Infinity 3.0, and that was yesterday and Friday, and I guess today it's going to be released to the general public. So those gamers out there, if you were down there, you were able to kind of get a sneak peek of the 3.0 edition, and if you were not, looks you can pick this up starting today.
Yeah, if they're releasing it there, they're actually giving it out a couple days early, I guess, because it's to do with Disney, because usually games are always dropped on Tuesdays.
Oh, it's kind of like movie releases.
Yes, they're always dropped on Tuesdays. My buddy Kevin works at Banda Video, a local video store.
Oh, okay.
They're good friends of mine. I do work for them. I take care of the store for them, but there's games dropped, and he's all geeked out. He never did Disney Infinity, but he's a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, sorry.
So he pre-ordered all the characters.
Yep.
He ordered the game, the whole nine yards. So I just got a PlayStation 4. I'm geeked out on that. But I've been weighing the whole idea of the Infinity. I don't know if I want to do it or not. I'm on the fence because it looks really cool in certain ways.
Yep.
So I'm on the fence if I want to try it or not. But would it be at Disney? I wouldn't mind trying some of the levels because they have, like, Toy Story. They have Lion King. They have all different kind of characters that give their own story through this.
Right, and those are the ones.
It would be really cool.
Yeah, and those are the ones that come with the little the figurines as well, right?
Absolutely. You buy the figurine, and you get to be that character. Like, you have to buy the cartridge. I call it the cartridge to tell you how old I am.
Right.
You have to buy the disc. right. where you have to do the digital download
right.
to have the game. But then as you buy each character,
right.
they give you a code, and it lets that character go into the game for you, into the world.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to our collectible show that we kind of did. You know, to me, that's what it would be. I'm not a gamer, but if I even got into it, and because of the Disney tie, like, my son had a PlayStation, whatever you call them nowadays. And when, what was that, Epic Mickey came out,
yeah.
I actually did play that. And, again, I was playing more because I wanted to see the Disney tie-in. I mean, obviously it was Mickey, but I wanted to see, you know,
yeah.
how the parks looked and stuff. And I did enjoy it. I got to admit, I got into it, but I never pulled the trigger on Infinity. And, you know, I think I'm just protecting myself from myself, because if I started doing that, I'd want all the characters, and I'd care less about the game and more about collecting the, you know, they'd be like Vinylmation for me or something. So I figured I'd save a few bucks and not go there.
But the positive thing about it, if you gave up the Vinylmation and did this, at least you could do something with them.
Yeah.
You got the figurine, plus
right.
you could go into this world and have some fun.
Right. Well, you know me well. I don't tend to have a lot of patience, and that's why I don't like video games, because I get very frustrated when I can't figure something out, whether it be the game itself or the controls, because as you know, those controls, you know, there's 83 buttons, and you got to figure out how to do it and push
this one.
It's
like your iPhone. Once you
yeah.
get on it, you're on it. It's,
yeah.
I've had PlayStation forever. I like playing Madden. I play games. I don't have time like I used to, because I'm doing this thing, a podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's called life. You get older.
Yeah.
There's other things more important. But I do like the system. The reason I highly recommend the PlayStation is because you also have a... You can also run Netflix and everything else. It's like a personal computer for you.
Right, right. Yeah, my son had all that set up. And my daughter does, too, to a lesser extent now. But like you said, I'm so busy between work and doing the show and other things I got going on. I don't have time to play video games. And, I mean, I don't even really watch that much TV, to be honest with you. I just don't have time now, which is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, I had Epic Mickey Mice. I still have it, actually.
Yeah, I got the first one. I never got version 2 or whatever it was, and I think they stopped making it after that. But did you like the game, though? I mean, what?
It was okay, but there was something with the game. I played it all, but it's weird. Like, I play all these games, but there was something about Epic Mickey that would actually get me motion sick as I was playing it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, there are some weird angles. I can kind of see why you might have.
It was just weird, because I play Madden, I play Call of Duty, I play all these games. But and I played Epic Mickey. I got through it. It was pretty neat with the paintbrush, the things you do. It was wild. And you got to see Mortimer, the whole nine. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I liked all that, but just for there was something about it. If I just turned the wrong way or was the wrong way with it, it would get me motion sick. And that was on the Wii system, is what originally.
Okay.
And then they finally put it on the PlayStation.
That's right. It was on two platforms, now
yeah.
that you say that. Because
yeah.
I think that's what happened. We actually bought a game system just because of Epic Mickey or something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, so anyways, it's pretty cool. That I guess this Disney Infinity is pretty popular. I mean, I hear
absolutely.
A lot about it. And when I go to Target or something, there's like a whole aisle of just all that stuff. So stuff must be selling, that's for sure.
And the other thing is there are actually a lot of the characters that are becoming, they're one of those things. I think Disney will discontinue them after a while, or you know, I don't
right.
know what they're going to do with them, but I'm sure they're going to do something to make them worthwhile, because my partner Kevin's like you. Now that he has the Star Wars and all, and he has two sons, and he runs Band of Video. I was joking with him, because he works in there. Mark owns the place, but Kevin works in there. He's been with him forever. And, I said, nobody's going to be out of trade, because he's going to want every one now. He got online to see what it would cost to buy them all at once.
Right, right.
Because it's two young boys, because he's hoping they'll get into it with them the whole
yep.
9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And because what happens is people come in and buy, sell, and trade things at this store, too.
Okay.
So I said, poor Mark's never going to get an Epic Mickey figurine trade-in, ever. As soon as he comes through the door, Kevin's going to be taking it home with him.
Right, right.
He'll give him the money he'll buy it for what
right.
it's worth himself, but
yeah.
Mark's never going to have any kind of exchange with these.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they do things. You're probably, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure they retire characters or whatever to make them more collectible or to make people go out and buy them on release day. You know, if you know they're only going to be around for a specific period of time, or, you know, they only made X amount and when they're gone, they're gone. You know, it'll motivate you to run out and buy it as soon as possible.
Absolutely. It's pretty cool, though, because, like, you see, I don't know if you've seen the commercials, like, with the Star Wars, you got, they're fighting the Jedi and all that. Like, he got a whole set, and then he had to order Darth Vader separately. That's how they get you.
Oh, okay. That was the catch, right?
He bought the pack, and they'll keep releasing them. I could see this becoming big, and it showed them fighting with the lightsabers and all that other stuff, which I think looked really cool, and I would like they have Monsters, Inc. with, you know, I would love to run through with Mike with the big mouth running through the, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, it would just be fun being the different characters and seeing what Toy Story could figures out to be. And the reason I would do it is the reason we would all do it and you would do it too, because it makes you feel like you're at Disney World when you're not there.
Right, exactly, and that's what I said with the collectible show. That is the link for me. It isn't really whether it's Disney Infinity or the pin or the vinyl mansion, but it's just a way to kind of keep the Disney spirit alive in between trips down there, for me anyways.
Absolutely, it keeps you in the spirit, and that's what I think. That's why I'm leaning towards the Infinity, because maybe it's something me and Brenda could do together.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a good thing, you know, after dinner or something, and, you know, instead of watching the TV all the time, maybe you play a game, and with your competitiveness, I'm sure that would be an interesting conversation, playing your wife.
I honestly never let her beat me at anything either, and she never lets me either. That's what I love about her.
Well, that's good, then. Then there's no saying, well, you let me win.
No, we play cards, we play shuffleboard, we go anything. The only thing I do is, like, if it's something that I'm, like, ridiculously better, like at pool.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way. I just take my time and don't, you know, her out.
You should shoot lefty.
Yeah, no, I don't go there. I don't want to look like a moron, but, yeah, I still want to try, but I don't.
Right.
But with, like, cards and anything that we're real competitive with.
Right.
Nah, bragging rights around here.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. So, yeah, Disney Infinity. Allergy-friendly menus are now available at most of the Walt Disney World restaurants. And I guess they did a trial late in 2014, and they've now completed it, and they're rolling out the new allergy-friendly menu program. So the quick service and table restaurants now offer allergy-free menus, meaning that in some cases you won't have to ask the chef to visit the table. Instead, you'll just be able to make your selections directly from the menu. So that's a step in the right direction for folks that have allergies. And, you know, most of the common allergies are gluten, wheat, milk, peanut, nut, and fish. So, if you have any food allergies, it looks like it's going to be a little easier to order meals down there now.
That's one of the most stressful things as a TA with clients coming in, booking trips, and their kids or one of them have a food allergy. It isn't as bad if it's the adult. It is, because something can happen, but at least you're not as worried as much about yourself as you are your child.
Right.
You know, and when a kid has an allergy, man, and I love it because the parents are their only advocate, but it is scary. I mean, when you see, I've seen people with food allergies, with peanut allergens and stuff like that, what happens to them. And it's a scary thought, because people don't realize that even if the actual ingredient isn't in the meal, but one of the pans had it in it.
Right.
Or any kind of remnant can get them sick. And I don't think people realize the severity of it until you actually see somebody get sick from it.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest with you. I used to not believe that people had all these allergies, and it happened to my nephew, and he has a peanut allergy, and he's that bad. I mean, if he what happened to him is somebody went to a neighbor's house, and the mother had baked cookies, and they know he has a peanut allergy, but somehow or another there was either peanut butter or something in the recipe, and she forgot, and he ate the cookie, and he ended up in the hospital. It was that bad. I mean, it was a scary, scary thing. And, you know, it comes on, as you know, just out of nowhere. I mean, it's very, his throat swelled up, and it was just, it was awful. So, yeah, it's serious business, and I do have respect for people that deal with those issues, particularly for their kids, like you said, Doug, because I'd rather it happen to me than see it happen to, you know, my kids or anyone else's kids, for that matter.
Absolutely. My mother-in-law, she has a fish allergy, and I didn't really think it was bad.
Right,
and
right.
It would really upset her stomach really bad, and we didn't know it, and we didn't know what it was, and it's like all of a sudden we started realizing the doctor did test on her, and here she has a major fish allergy that if she ate too much, she could get sick from. We didn't know it. It's like...
And you eat a lot of fish at your house too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So we have to cook two meals for her over the past 10, 15 years.
Wow.
You know, like, because we don't have fish as much as we used to, which...
Right.
We used to have it two or three nights a week. Now we usually have it every weekend and maybe once during the week, and we'll make her something. If we do tacos, sometimes we'll do fish and do her meat. But you got to worry. I mean, it's a serious thing, and I'm glad Disney's an advocate of it, because a lot of places aren't. I mean, you go to other parks, they don't care.
Right. Take it as you get it. Yeah, exactly.
BYOF.
Right.
Bring your own food.
And I don't know how you feel about it, but I mean, I think back to when I was a kid or something, and maybe you're just not as aware of stuff when you're younger or whatever, but I don't remember people having all these allergies like that. Like, even up at the school where I work, I mean, you wouldn't believe how many carpets we replace because people are allergic to, you know, pet dander or whatever it is. I mean, we're always replacing, putting sheet goods or hard goods in for flooring because the kids have this allergy or that allergy. It's so prevalent now in society. It just, I don't know. It just seems like a lot more than it ever was when we were kids.
Well, when we were kids, they would just, you know, like we said before on the shows, rub dirt on it. Move on. If you weren't, you know... Nobody cared if you're stomach. I mean, not that they didn't care, but it was just our society. If you're, you didn't get a tummy ache from eating that fish, or you didn't, you know, no, you
right.
didn't. You,
right.
Everybody, you know, there was no test. Half the things you weren't even tested for. Just like me, I remember being tested as a kid, and the doctors tell me I'm allergic to dust and Kentucky bluegrass. Well, and I'm a general contractor. I got to work through it.
Right.
What I do for a living. But if I was if I was a kid when that happened, when I was 18, 19 now, I'd be told to do something else.
Right.
My uncle, take two Advil and work through it. You know,
so
you're allergic
to
dust. Get
so
out of here.
What if your eyes are watering? Who cares? Suck it up.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, now everybody's so worried. It's a good thing, but I think in some ways we do go overboard a little bit.
Yeah.
There's certain things we got to worry about, but there's certain things, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, it's the reality of the world we live in today. But, you know, as it relates to Disney World, though, I totally agree with you. It is comforting to know that the company that I really enjoy is on the cutting edge of this stuff, and they're kind of leading the way. I think a lot of places wait to see what Disney's going to do, and then they somewhat copy that plan because, you know, they've been on this for a few years now. This isn't a recent thing. I mean, they've been, you know, I'd say, 5 years at least, they've been hot and heavy on this thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I would tell everybody to do is talk to the chef. If your kid has an allergy, talk to the chef, write it down. What I've had clients do, and a lot of them do it, but I tell them to make up little cue cards and print them out and keep the amount of dinners you're going to have that week. Print them out and have them on you.
Good idea. This way
you can just hand it to the waiter or waitress so the chef knows.
Yeah, no, that's
so you're not explaining yourself and you're not taking the time and going through it. This is my son's allergies or daughter's allergies or mine.
Right.
And it saves a lot of time if you do it that way instead of having to sit there and explain yourself every time.
Right. No, absolutely.
And then this way the chef could. The other thing is you had it in writing too.
Yeah.
It covers you because you might forget something.
Right.
This way, if you, because you're in Disney World, you're on your trip, you're not in the same frame of mind as you are at home. Take the time at home, write it down, make copies, and take it with you. This way, you're not worried about missing anything. You got the time to really look at what you wrote. Do you agree?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because
and it's one less thing you got to worry about. Put it in your fanny pack, your camera bag, put in a couple different things. Put a couple in your wallet on small index cards or something, or your purse. Right. This way you have them on you, hand them to the waitress, your server, and this way you don't have to worry about it.
No, that's a great idea. And it, like I said, a lot of people deal with this issue. And, you know, knock on wood, I think that, you know, Disney's minimizing the chance of something happening by being proactive on this issue.
Well, we did that with my father, too. It's a trick for everything. My mother-in-law, we laminate her prescriptions and put them in her wallet.
Great idea.
This way, if something happens, it's on their person.
Right, right.
And and you're not trying to remember, like, because when you're in stress at the hospital, me and Brenda's there, and what is mom on or what is dad on? You're not, right. you're not in the right frame of mind. We carry them with, we know what she's on too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is one area where I do not that this is cutting edge, but where I use technology for stuff like that. Like, you know, we use CVS up here all the time to get all of our prescriptions and stuff. And if you have the CVS app, you can just go right on there, and there's a whole history of everything you've, every prescription you've ever filled, and you can get it at the touch of a finger. So, in effect, we have our medical, you know, prescriptions and stuff with us all the time. Now, I suppose power could go out, or your battery could die, or whatever. But
exactly. But these are little tips I tell people to go into the parks. Is what I'm saying. Have them on you.
Right.
If you're a family member, or you or somebody's on medications, have it written down. Have it so you know.
Right.
So if you need help, you're away.
Right. Right.
It's just little things you can do for before you go on your vacation. That if God forbid something does happen, you have it
right.
on you.
No, I hear you, because, you know, if you ever have to have an ambulance called or something happened, you know, that's one of the first things they ask you, you know, what medication are you taking? So they don't give you something on the way to the hospital that might interact with that or whatever, you know.
And if you're on a lot, because some people, like my dad, literally had trays for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, he had four
right.
or five pills every day he took.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, just who he was, because he had heart problem, blah, blah,
yep.
blah.
Yep.
And if you could hand that to the ambulance driver or give it to him, I mean, it makes life a lot easier, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So it's just a little tip here from WDW Main Street Pub.
Yeah. let's see. Moving right along with news. So the Osborne lights are starting to go up, and that's a good thing, because many of us in the Disney community didn't think we'd see this happen this year. But
I wonder if it's going to be the last year, Dan.
If I was a betting man, I don't know. With what we learned with how they're starting the construction, it seems to be over the other side.
Yeah.
Maybe it might squeak out another year. I would have said absolutely, and I think we did say that when we first learned of the, you know, all the new stuff coming to the studios. But based on what we've seen with construction you know, buildings closing and Walt's desk being taken out of one man's dream, it seems like they're going to kind of start over on the other side. So maybe they'll spare the Streets of America for another couple of years to continue running the Osborne lights.
You're right. If we were betting, I thought 100% for sure that the whole side with the Streets of America and all in that area was going to be taken out before.
Right.
I never seen Animation Pavilion, all that going away. Have you? I mean,
No. And, you know, when we were talking to Lou, we talked about just that. And, you know, the bottom line is they can't shut both sides of the park down. I mean, this, as far as we know, the studios is going to continue to operate during this massive construction that they're going to go through. So you would think that they would kind of keep one side open while they work on the other, and then vice versa. But I can't imagine that them shutting down, you know, both sides of the park simultaneously. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. Like right now, I'm not guessing anymore, because I don't know. I never thought that whole side, I mean, is how long's Ariel have over there? I mean, you know what I'm saying? The Little Mermaid and all. How much longer does that have?
Yeah, you wouldn't think very long. And, you know, that's an older show. I mean, that's been there for years and years. So, I mean, you know, who knows? As part of this, we may lose that attraction. I don't know. And, you know, what'll ultimately happen. But, what do you think it'll come back if it does you know, I don't think they'd move it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, I think if it goes, it just goes. I don't think you'll see it again. I think there's a presence at the Magic Kingdom now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if they're going to do anything else with that. I mean, if it goes, I don't think that. I think it's a good ride. I know Mike Rahman from Be Our Guest. I know his daughter loves that because that's one of the reasons why they go to the studios. It was one of the rides that his daughters liked.
Right.
But I just don't see that hanging around. Once it's torn out, I don't see anything else coming from it. I mean, is the Little Mermaid, it's still popular and all, but it isn't like Frozen and Toy Story and Star Wars. And, you know, I mean, I don't see, if it goes, I don't see it coming back.
No, I don't either. And, you know, like the technology is, you know, somewhat dated, and they would at minimum update it. But like you said, they already got it covered over at New Fantasyland. So to me, that would just duplicate the effort. So I don't see that happening. But, you know,
I think knowing them and, you know, Disney plans things out years in advance. There's never nothing off the cuff.
Right, right.
Except for Frozen stuff popping up, like for just experiences, little things in the parks, like the skating and the shows. And
right.
I'm sure they developed them. Well, they did develop them fast because they didn't see how popular this was going to be. But, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if that whole Little Mermaid deal was made just because they knew that that side of the park was being ripped out.
Right. Yeah, could be. Could be.
What other reason why would they go there?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But
because it shocked me at the time because they already had something.
Right, right.
That's why I was a little off. I thought, why didn't they go another attraction? There's plenty of ferries and things to do for Fantasyland other than the Little Mermaid.
Right. They have many, many, you know, attractions or movies that they could have featured in that. So, yeah, interesting. Interesting.
That was one of the clues. If you were a Disney detective, you'd have said, something's going to happen here because why would they duplicate something?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It looks easy now, you know. Too bad we didn't say it then.
No, just like when Lion King went up, Lion King left.
Right, right.
Because there used to be Lion King at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, I remember that.
That.
Yeah, I do. I remember it vividly. It used to be where PhilharMagic is, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a decent show, but they finally got rid of it when they built the Lion King at the Animal Kingdom.
Right. It kind of replaced it, and you're right though. If you don't think of it in that terms, you wouldn't even realize it, but. You'd say, well, why would they have, you know, not that it's the same show, but it's certainly representing that, you know, that animated movie or whatever. Yeah,
because it's already in the other, it's at Epcot, too. They had it in three places because the whole Circle of Life is about the Animal Kingdom, too. I mean,
right.
You know, the Lion King.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like enough is, I mean, not enough is enough, but it kind of makes you think of when they put that mermaid up, you should have been thinking that something's going on in that area of the studios.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes and ears open so that we can, next time that happens, we can call it.
Okay. And we'll be wrong for sure.
Yeah, that's nothing new. Let's see here. Food and Wine Festival's Eat to the Beat concert series added as a Fast Pass Plus attraction at Epcot. The 2015 Epcot Food and Wine Festival's Eat to the Beat concert series, it has been added to the Fast Pass lineup. So it's going to be a Tier 1 Fast Pass grouping along with Illuminations, Living with the Land, Soaring, and Test Track. One selection can be made from this group using My Disney Experience or via the kiosks at the park. So a separate Fast Pass queue will be made available at the American Gardens Theater and with entry allowed 20 minutes before the show. What do you think about that?
If that's what you like, I mean, the way I look at it, I could get to use my Fast Pass for something else.
Yeah.
But there is some good, I'll be honest with you, though. There are some really good acts here that I might use my Fast Pass to see.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, Doug, I mean, in all the years that I've watched Eat to the Beat, and again, it depends who's playing, I realize this, but I've never got shut out or been told it's sold out or you can't get in. I mean, that's just been my
experience. But I want front row seats for Tiffany.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I mean, but who knows? Will it be like Fantasmic? I mean, just because you have Fast Pass, who knows where the seats are? Maybe they're going to be way over on the side.
No, I think with this one, dude, they're going to put them up close.
Front and center?
I think you'll get good seats for doing that for this.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably in the slate of, you know, performers at Eat to the Beat or the flower power, whatever they do during Flower and Garden. I mean, there's two or three that I would
I'll
want
read through
to
them,
see.
And you let me know if you're going to want to see them or
okay,
not.
Go for it.
You know who David Cook is?
Yeah, American Idol. I do. I used to watch it back then when he was on, so I know who he is.
You probably started watching it when Disney became a part of it.
Yeah, probably. I tend to do that.
Exactly. He's going to be there September 25th through 27th. You going to see David Cook?
No.
Okay. Wilson Phillips, the 28th and 29th.
He could walk by my house. I wouldn't know who he is.
See, that's where you're wrong. Wilson Phillips is three girls.
Oh, see? Shows how much I know.
Oh, they were good. Hold on for one more day. Oh, don't tell anybody I like them.
Don't know who they are.
Christopher Cross, September 30th through October 1st.
I'd probably see him.
Sailing.
Yeah. I mean, man, that's a high-pitched song there.
That was horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. I knew what you meant, though. But, yeah, I'd, if he was playing while I was there, I'd see Christopher Cross.
How about some Starship, October 2nd through the 4th?
Absolutely. I told the story. I met them in the parking lot.
On rock and roll.
I met them over at Saratoga Springs when they were playing one festival. They were
so
walking.
You're a shippy.
I'm a shippy, yep. No, I do. They do have a couple of good songs I do like. And, you know, they're kind of a, you know, not a hard rock band, but certainly.
They're pop rock. They're
pop rock. Yeah, that's what I'd call
them. They're good.
Yeah.
They're okay. I would listen to a couple tunes. Smash Mouth.
Yes, I even though
you go, Dennis.
When we were walking through Epcot, this was a few years ago, and Smash Mouth was playing, but it's kind of weird because a lot of the songs that they played are prevalent in the Universal movies, Shrek, right? A lot of the music from Shrek is songs from Smash Mouth. So, in my way of looking at it, Shrek songs were playing in Epcot while we were there. I forget which songs they are. I'm horrible with music, but there's at least two or three major songs that Smash Mouth does that are also in the Shrek movie. So it's kind of weird. But I do like the music, though. I would definitely see them.
Well, they're going to be there the 5th through the 7th of October. The Pointer Sisters. Yoo-hoo!
No.
I would see them. My wife would like to see them. So that would be the 8th. They're going to be there the 8th and the 9th. Come on, you got to like 38 special.
Yeah, I
would see
October
10th and 11th.
Yep, absolutely.
I love it. Now, you're going to wish you had Jesse's girl. Rick Springfield's going to be there October 12th and 13th.
Yeah, I would, I guess. I would, only because it's a familiar name and I know.
Come on, face up. You used to watch General Hospital when he was on there, right?
No, I didn't. But, yeah, I would definitely watch a set of him. I would.
Okay, Sugar Ray, 14th through the 16th.
Don't know who they are.
Yeah, I like Sugar Ray. He's a single. He's a guy. It's a guy, lead singer with his band. It's after him. The SOS Band, October 17th and 18th.
Nope.
Sugar Ray will be there 14th through the 16th anyway. Air Supply?
No.
Well, I would actually have to sing them. I would have to see them, not sing them.
Right.
But actually, they were actually playing. Air Supply was actually playing. Every woman in the world to me was playing when I proposed to my wife. So I'd absolutely see Air
Supply. Oh, then
you
got to see them, yeah.
Absolutely. They're playing the 9th through the 21st. Fuel, will you see them?
Nope.
They're there October 22nd and 23rd. I have no response to Fuel.
And Tiffany? I'm sorry, but that's actually who's going to be playing them when we're there because we get there on the 20th. So what did you say? It was Fuel?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you'll be able to see Tiffany. She's there the 24th through the 25th.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and then Dennis DeYoung, October 26th and 28th.
Is he foreigner or is that one of the other bands?
It's just him by himself.
Yeah, but I know that.
Yeah, I think he's saying, I think you'll be okay with that. Yeah. He's there the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
All right.
Jody Messina, heads Carolina, tails California. Oh,
never
I'm
heard
sorry.
Of that.
My country came out. Yeah. But I would see Jody Messina. I like her. Do you?
No, I don't listen to country music, and I have no idea what that song was that you just sang.
You'd heard it before, but it would be the 29th and the 30th she's there.
Okay.
Everclear?
No.
You sure?
I don't know who they are, but...
okay, next up, Everclear is there the 31st through the 1st.
All right.
How about Boyz II Men?
No.
Well, I would see Boyz II Men. They're from Philadelphia,
are they
man.
Really?
Yeah, they're from right in my backyard.
So now they're boys to old men, is that it?
They're still good, though. They can say they're still younger than us, so
yeah,
they'll
that's
never
true.
be old men.
Yeah, that's true. I got to admit that.
Yeah, they're there November 2nd through the 4th.
All right.
How about Sister Hazel?
Yeah, maybe one song I would listen to.
They're there the 5th and the 6th. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Don't know who they are.
They're the 7th to the 9th. Now, I know this next group. You've actually hung out and slept overnight to get tickets. I know you're a groupie of theirs.
Oh, Van Halen's playing?
No. Hanson.
I've heard of them, but no.
Yeah, they're there the 10th and through the 12th. Then you got Maxi Priest is there November 13th and 14th. You going to check them out?
No.
And then Chaka Khan.
I'd
is
going
to be there 15 and 16. Yeah. I get my groove on with my wife, the Chaka Khan.
This is her first year, I think. So, I would check that out. Absolutely.
Yeah, what is good is these are well-known groups, and it's free. It's not free because you're paying for your park ticket.
Right, but I know what you mean.
You'd pay close to what your park ticket is to see half these groups if you went to your local concert to see them.
You always say this, Doug, and it's true. They could just do nothing and just have a curtain up on the stage, and you'd still pay the same amount, so it's all good, right?
Yeah, they're bringing in really good entertainment. My godson and my brother-in-law just went to see Van Halen locally this week, actually.
Right.
My godson bought his father tickets for Van Halen for his birthday gift.
Nice.
And they went to the local amphitheater, and it was $30 to park.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't been to a concert in a while, but, it's crazy.
People talk about Disney Park and being expensive. $30 to park in Camden, New Jersey.
I mean, I say this all the time. I mean, I just relate it to, even sports. Like, I've stopped taking baseball tickets or Red Sox tickets. You know, people are always, well, particularly this year for the Red Sox, but even in years where they're contending, I mean, people give you a set of tickets, and it's going to cost you $3-4 bills at the end of it, even getting the tickets for free. By the time you get there, park, concessions, you know, and when my kid was, you know, I'd buy him a souvenir or something, you know, I was like, no, I can't go because it's just insanely expensive for all the other things that go along with just seeing the game, you know what I'm saying?
We got to the point where my buddies used to sell tickets to the Phillies all the time, and even when they were doing well.
Right.
We have the same problem here right now. Our team got old. They're rebuilding mine. But anyway, we used to go, and we finally got to the point where I bring my Disney backpack to the Phillies game, and we'll put the hoagies in there.
Right, right.
Because I will buy a couple hoagies or make lunch, and I pack sodas and drinks and all in there, and then I could go for just the price of parking for $20.
Well, that's not bad. You put some thought into it, but I mean, you know what I mean. At least
exactly, because
people dump tickets all the time, and you know, sometimes it's noontime, and they say, hey, I can't go tonight. Here's $2 each.
Exactly.
And, you know, your immediate reaction is, sure, I'll take them, and then you get thinking about it. Holy moly, I got to come up with $300 to do this.
I know. I just won, actually, this week on WIP, our local sports station.
Yeah.
Best nickname, and you'll love this one, best nickname for a sports athlete. And they picked theirs, and you had to call in, and we had to talk about the Eagles and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, I won caller of the day. I got 4 free Phillies tickets. I gave them to my godson.
Ah, good for you.
And he had to go pick them up in Center City, so good for him. But anyway,
better
him I won.
Than you, right?
And the nickname that I won with, you'll love this.
Okay.
Do you remember Andrew Tony from the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yeah, chunky guy, kind of a chunky guy.
No, that was Maurice Cheeks.
Oh.
Charles Barkley was the other one. But Tony was a point guard.
Okay.
And he had a nickname. He was 22. He's my favorite basketball player of all times. He was called the Boston Strangler. And that's what I won Philly's tickets off of, that, the Boston Strangler, because every time he had played the Celtics, he was a world-class player. Barkley asked him who the greatest player he played with. It was him.
Right.
Well, he had to retire early because he had stress fractures in both feet.
Oh, okay.
And that was before they had the operations to fix it.
Yep.
Well, he used to average like 40-some points a game. You guys actually went out and got Dennis Johnson just to guard him.
Oh, okay.
But I won tickets for that. It was $40, and I got 4 tickets, I don't want to go. I don't need the aggravation paying for the bridge, the whole 9 yards. They stink this year, so I gave the tickets to them. But the point I was making is people complain that down at the parks are very expensive. Well, last time before my buddy Bob went, and he's a Disney bah humbug, he'll go there because his buddy used to work in Germany.
Right.
But he don't get it like we do because he said it's expensive.
Right.
Well, we all go to the Phillies game. I got him Phillies tickets. I actually paid for these to his going away, moving to Florida because he moved to Newport Rich. We all went to the Phillies game.
Right.
I bought us four beers, four chicken and pea crab fries. If you know what, I don't know what you know what they are. They're just basically fries with Old Bay seasoning put on them.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought four beers, four crab fries, and four sausage sandwiches. What do you think that came to?
I'm gonna say $83.
Try 92.
Oh, I was close.
The crab fries were $10 a piece, right?
Wow.
For the fries. If you wanted the sauce, it was an extra $2 for dipping sauce.
Oh, you cheaped out and didn't get the sauce?
Oh, no. Everybody wanted sauce.
Oh, okay.
Yo, so there's 12. So there's $48 just for crab fries.
Right. $10. That's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy, dude. And I'm lying. And it was no. I'm sorry. It was $90 for the crab fries and the sandwiches. The sandwiches were $13 a piece. And then I bought us beers, which were $6 a piece.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Oh, I said it was over $100 for. And everybody's telling me I could go eat at the Yak and Yeti and had my fried wontons for less than that.
Right. Right.
And been served instead of getting some attitude. You get sauces over there from the wait. You know how Philly
right.
attitude is. I
right.
live here, but
yeah.
They are the most. You get waited on in Philly. Go to a Phillies game and let them servers wait you.
You mean they don't say please and thank you?
Oh, dude, you're lucky they don't throw the spatula at you.
That's funny.
You know, they're all like the soup Nazi in them
right,
from
right.
Seinfeld.
Yep.
But no, dude, it isn't. Everybody thinks it's expensive. No, it's not cheap, but everywhere is expensive if you go out. It's just that simple.
It really is. And you know, we've been going to Disney for so many years. We're accustomed to it, and we understand the economics of a Disney trip, and you just deal with it. It is what it is, and, you know, it's all good. So, yeah.
Continue. We went on our rant. Sorry, guys. This is the news show. This is Bar Banter. This is what we do.
Yeah, let's see here. Tickets now available for the Force Friday merchandise event at Downtown Disney. If you want to be among the first to buy new Star Wars merchandise, you'll need a $50 ticket for next month's Force Friday merchandise event. Are you going to be in line for this?
No, but this is it. Now, these are the things that drive me nuts. I know the Star Wars fans love it, but
yep.
You really have to hit them with a $50 early entry fee.
Well, if you buy this ticket, you'll have the opportunity to be among the first to purchase the new Star Wars and the Star Wars The Force Awakens themed merchandise, including Disney.
So you get to pay $50 to spend more money.
Yeah, well, you get a Amity Gift Force Friday logo messenger bag.
Oh, no, you don't.
You know, now that I'm actually reading this and comprehending it, this is pretty outrageous. I mean, really, you just said it. They're going to charge you $50 so that you can spend your money.
Exactly. That's what I got when I read it. It's
that
like,
is outrageous.
I mean, where have you ever spent money? I mean, I can't wrap my head around it. It's like you could pay $50 to get tickets to go see this show.
Right.
It's like you're basically, I don't get it, man. You're basically just buying a fast pass is basically what you're doing to buy merchandise.
I mean, I do get it because, again, I equate everything back to the pins or the Vinylmation. If you're into something and if you're into Star Wars and this is, you know, I'm sure there's going to be limited edition merchandise and you want to be, one of the lucky 500 to get that, you know, T-shirt or whatever it might be, you're probably willing to pay this, but us not being the Star Wars geeks that a lot of people are, you know.
Sorry
it's,
about calling you geeks.
Yeah, well,
you are.
I'm a geek too. I mean, I mean that with the.
We're Disney geeks.
Yeah, exactly. But do you know what I mean? If you're into something, you don't think there's anything wrong with it. If you're sitting on the outside looking at it as a non-biased person, it seems outrageous. I guess. Does that make any sense?
Exactly, but it does make total. I get why they're doing it. It's because they can.
You're exactly
it's basically
right.
They're letting somebody else buy an advantage, and it's the thing that I keep saying that I pray to goodness that it don't come to where they eventually you're going to get better perks because you stayed at a better resort in the parks. It's all back to this again. It's different ways of making it's elitism.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, for that father and son, maybe, you know, he got his son in the Star Wars and he wants a particular item, you know, and maybe, you know, they don't have the resources to afford, you know, he's just looking to scrape together the $35 to buy the T-shirt itself. So now that kid don't get a shirt because, you know, mom and dad can't afford it. That don't seem right to me.
Well, it just provokes, it provokes being, I don't want to call it lazy, but, you know, back in the day, you set out and waited. You got up early, you worked for it, you got there first, you got first in line.
Right, right.
Well, this is basically provoking laziness if you have an extra 50.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and this isn't just this event. I mean, Disney's been doing this, I mean, you know, for events. And you hit the nail on the head, Doug. They do it because they can. There's thousands of people that are willing to throw $50 at them for nothing other than getting an advantage and getting in there first and, you know, before everyone else and buying what they want to buy. I mean, it's as simple as that.
No, I don't like it, but there ain't nothing I can do about it. But we can... You know what? Blank and moan here on this show about it, you know, and that's what we do.
Yep.
And I just think it's wrong. I mean, for everybody who loves Star Wars, to each his own. If that's what you want to spend it on, that's fine. I just don't see the whole. I wouldn't do it. But what's going to happen is half these people are going to get there, and then they're going to turn around and put the stuff right up on eBay and make money off it. So that's the other way Disney's looking at it. That's probably the way they justify it.
Right, but I mean, you can put it in terms that, you know, it would make sense to you. Like when we talked about on our collectible show, you know, if you were still
into
the...
Which is coming up this week,
guys. I keep referencing a show that hasn't come out yet. Sorry, guys. But, yeah, if you were still into the NASCAR collecting and stuff like that, if the same circumstances were there, if you knew you could get a limited edition Dale Earnhardt, you know, 250, you know, if you had to pay a little extra and you were guaranteed you'd get one, you might do it if you think of what your mindset was when you
were
really into
it. Well, what we kind of did is I did something like that. But no, but wait, it was, you got something for it. I don't know what they're, what are they, I don't see.
You get a sports bag. Do you remember I said a bag of some sort?
Yeah.
You know, who knows what
see,
that is.
What this was is how this worked was is it was like $40 or whatever it was, but you got a car. And you got a club pass, and you got a bunch of things, but it was like, it was for a year. It wasn't a one-time admission.
Okay.
For 1 year, it allowed you, it gave you the opportunity to buy stuff a week before everybody else.
Right, right.
But you didn't have to buy everything. If you bought, so you got a car already that was worth that. It was the only people who got this car, which I ended up selling and making money off it, actually. But what it did is it allowed you to purchase for the year. It was like a club.
Right.
This is basically to walk through the door.
Yeah.
I would even be happier if they said, enter, I wish Disney, because they own it now,
right,
they should just start a club like D23 for Star
right.
Wars people, and those people get something out of it for being a member. But
yeah,
not just walking one day through a door. I would understand that more.
It's basically a cover charge is what it boils down
exactly.
to.
Exactly. a cover charge to go spend money. I don't need a bag.
Right.
That bag ain't going to be worth nothing. No. I'm sorry. The bag ain't.
No, it'll be... You're right. I totally agree.
The bag's just... They're giving you the bag, really, so you can put more stuff in it when
yeah.
you leave.
Yeah, good idea.
So they're basically saving money because they're hoping everybody uses that bag, and they don't have to use bags for all the stuff that's being sold.
They got every angle covered. There's no doubt
exactly.
about that. All right. Now, moving along here... Mary Poppins is now periodically meeting guests on the new Main Street Plaza West Gardens at the Magic Kingdom. I'm looking at a picture here, and it looks pretty cool. She's all spiffed out in her Mary Poppins attire, if you will, and it looks pretty classy. So you may bump into Mary Poppins cruising down Main Street now and again.
I will get my picture taken with Mary Poppins. And Mary Poppins is cool.
Yeah, isn't she usually out in over in the United Kingdom, over in Epcot? Does she do meet and greets there sometimes, right on the little
I've
hill?
Seen, I've seen her over there. You're right.
Yeah,
Hello,
not all
Poppins.
The time. Either her or Alice in Wonderland. I think she's out there occasionally as well.
Yeah, I like the idea of them spreading them out through the parks. I like the regular characters, too, like this. I wish they would do more of that.
Yeah, the face characters.
Yes, I like that more. You know, because they're more friendly. Like, we had our pictures taken at the hall at the front of Main Street with a couple of the princesses.
Yeah.
it was one of the days. It was me, my wife and my mother-in-law stayed back, and I was with my brother-in-law and his wife. So they're more, let's get our picture taken. They don't run from it.
Right.
So I got to stick my cheesy head in a couple of them. Because my wife wasn't there telling me, no, don't do it. There's for kids.
Right.
Nah, you know, what do you think I am? I'm a 48-year-old kid.
Exactly. That's why we love going there.
My mind hasn't changed since I was 12. I'm still thinking the same stupid things, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I
just can't do all the same stupid things because I know it's wrong now.
Exactly.
So, well, yeah, I like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, so that's all I got for news this week.
That's all you have?
That's all I have. You got anything?
Yeah, just, well, did you see would you want to do the Run Disney? Have you ever thought about doing any of the marathons or anything?
Yeah, I've thought about it and then quickly moved on to something else.
Well, again, this is another thing, if we move there,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind doing. I like the scavenger hunt ones, but they also announced that they're doing the Star Wars half marathon.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I apologize. I skipped over that somehow. But, yeah, I did see that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's called the Dark Side event at Walt Disney World, a half marathon. I'll tell you what, the running, the marathons are, I don't ever see them going away. They're one of the most popular things in the parks now.
Oh, yeah. They
over the past 5 or 6 years, yeah, it's really becoming big.
They've grown by leaps and bounds, and, you know, all these, you know, it's a good thing to get people out there and into running, but Disney has found a way to capitalize on, you know, health and exercise, which is a good thing. And yeah, they put on, these are very, very popular. They award medals and, you know, for completing certain races. And, you know, I know a lot of people in the Disney community that, you know, collect them, if you will, and that's their badge of honor, if you will, completing these races and collecting the Disney medals, which some of them are just beautiful. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're, you know, different characters. And yeah, it's an awesome thing.
Well, the winner of this one's going to get a Darth Vader themed medal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to Star Wars fans, runners in general, I mean, you know, and the good thing about the Disney races is nobody really cares who, I mean, they call them races, but the whole point that most people run is just to finish or complete the race, and whether they're doing it an hour or 3 hours, depending on the length of the race, it's all good. As long as you complete it, you get a medal.
Absolutely, and then they're saying that the race here, if you do both of them, if you do the one on the West Coast, it's
right,
called the Kessel Run Challenge. If you do both coast to coast, you get a medal that looks like the Millennium Falcon Starship.
Oh, I got to have that.
So should we book our tickets, buddy?
Yeah, I'm in. As long as you can walk it, I'm good.
I know my wife could run it. She's on that treadmill every night.
Right.
I could run part of it, walk it. I would just like to do it to see the parks at different aspects. That's why I would do it, to geek out, just to see behind more of the scenes.
Yeah, and that's one of the good things about the races and why so many Disney fans like to do it, because you're able to get access to parts of the park that you normally are not able to. You know, and they got everything from a 5K to a half marathon to a full marathon. And like you said, they got races on, you know, both coasts where you can, you know, double dip, if you will, and you get a special medal for that. So, yeah, Run Disney is huge now, and it started out as just a little gimmicky thing like everything else down there, and now it's a multi-million dollar operation as far as generating income and bringing people down there. I mean, you know, hotels are selling out and weekends are selling out, all because of Run Disney.
Well, some of the things that I liked was also is they, and I wish they would do more of them, is, do you remember the scavenger hunting hall that they had at the Animal Kingdom?
Vaguely.
Yeah, they had a scavenger hunt where you ran through the Animal Kingdom and you had to collect all different ports. Everybody had to find a certain amount of things. I remember Lou Mangiello and them doing that.
Yeah.
I wish they would bring back more of that, because that's one thing that me and my wife really had interest in. Because they did it the 1 year, and we almost thought about changing our trip just to do it.
Really?
But something came up where we couldn't change our week, because we wanted to try that. It was a scavenger hunt throughout the Animal Kingdom. You had teams of four.
Yep.
Oh, dude, I think that would be awesome.
And it's a good way to explore that park, too. You probably get into nooks and crannies that you never would just normally touring, you know?
Absolutely. Just as long as they didn't put nothing in the silverback gorilla cage, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. That wouldn't be too safe to go messing around with them guys.
And speaking of that, did you hear now also that the Animal Kingdom, they're going to have a night safari?
I mean, I've heard about it in the past, but is this, it's going to happen?
That's one of the things I've been reading about. If the park stays open later with the newer, they're going to have a nighttime safari out there.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess. I mean, if you're going to have people in the park, you got to offer them things to do. They're going to use the night vision goggles and stuff, or?
I haven't read everything. Safari Mike would probably know more than us, but right. I've been reading a lot of it. And go over to Radio Harambe, check him out. And the thing of it is I don't know how they're going to do it, but I know the animals are much more active at night, which it would really be cool. I think the same jeeps and all are going to go through. I just don't know how they're going to light it.
Right. Well, maybe, I mean,
But it would definitely be like a real safari.
Yeah. I mean, we heard during D23 weekend that they're expanding the Savannah out there, so maybe this one's new section might be for the night presentation, if you will. Because you're right. I mean, different animals have different habits, and some are, you know, more active at night.
Like lions move all night long. That's
right.
What they're like. It's too hot in the day.
Well,
they do all their hunting at night, all their moving at night. But I did you see that picture the other day of the lion actually running around that somebody had video of?
Yeah.
The male lion. That was good to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got a chuckle out of that because I always kid everybody that they could just throw a brown piece of rug up there on top of that rock, and I wouldn't – I mean, that's all I've ever seen. And I understand that it's hot during the day and they don't move, but, I mean, I've literally never – I don't think I've ever seen a lion even standing up. It's always
just
laying
down.
Well,
you know the rocks up there are air-conditioned.
Yes.
You know that, right?
They're cool.
Yeah, they don't move. So, right. But I have seen the male get up, walk over to another spot, and lay back down multiple times.
Did he yawn?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen him stretch. I've seen him walk over, stretch out the front paws, stretch out the back, and then flop and go right back to sleep. I've seen him make the females get up and move, too.
Yeah.
No, that's all you ever see. You don't really see much, but... I think you would see a lot more if they did tonight. Now, this is a rumor. This is just a thing I read on certain boards and different, you know, posts.
Right.
But I really think that's a good idea. I would love to do a nighttime safari. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been talking about it for years. And, you know, like you said, now that the park hours are going to be expanded dramatically for the Rivers of Light and all that stuff, it makes sense that they would do something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, so... But we're getting a little long here. I know you're getting excited about your trip coming up. We're going to so you excited about some of the fall decorations?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like that down there?
Yeah. I know we were teasing each other about the leaves falling off the trees back
yep.
in our homes. But, yeah, to me, there's nothing like, you know, Main Street USA when they put all that the fall decorations out and all the oranges and browns. And I don't know. I just think that the Magic Kingdom in particular looks just awesome. And, you know, if you do partake in Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, I mean, all the music and how they pump the smoke, if you will, down Main Street. I mean, it just takes on a whole new feel, or a different feel, I should say, when fall time comes around down there at Disney World.
It's perfect fall down there. It's perfect weather. None of the leaves are falling because nothing dies down there. You know what I mean? You don't
right.
have the same landscaping we do here.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, not funny, but, you know, they throw the hay bales out and you got scarecrows and, you know, all the paraphernalia that goes along with Halloween. And they do an awesome job. I mean, just think about just the pumpkins alone that are up on top of the buildings and on the window ledges and stuff like that. I mean, it's an awesome time of year.
To me, my train station absolutely looks
oh,
gorgeous.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
love all the pumpkins out in front of that. I can't even count how many years we've been down there during that, and just having the pictures of it is amazing. I just love fall. Fall and Christmas, Halloween and Christmas are, you know, my favorite two times down there.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And, you know, I've yet to get down there during the Christmas season, but I've certainly seen Halloween or fall decorations, if you will, many, many times. And, you know, I really look forward to that. Just the... you know, like I said, it's just a whole different feel. And, you know, if you've seen the Mickey's Not So Scary. You got the Headless Horseman that comes down there, and you know they make it exciting and they turn the lights
down. Just hearing
down.
The hoofprints going and hearing him run down Main Street is awesome.
Exactly, exactly. And you know the parade itself. I mean, you got the grave diggers, and when they scrape the shovels on the asphalt or whatever the substrate
the
is.
Cobblestone.
Yeah, it you know it sparks, and you know that sound there. I don't know. It just I really
it brings out the kid in you. That's the whole idea of going there. The music, all that stuff. It just brings out. It just makes you a kid again. And the new painting and all over at Epcot fits the fall season perfect, don't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They did tone it to some of those. They got rid of a lot of the blues and went to a more muted. You know, brownish, tannish color scheme, if you will. So
it's
yeah.
going to fit right into fall. Food and wine fall is going to look beautiful at over Epcot for you, Dan.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, now I'm, you know, not that I'm complaining, and I'm not, but I'm so close, but yet so far, you know. It's just, you know, we're stuck a couple of weeks here, and we'll be able to take off and get down there again.
Well, we'll cover more on your trip. I know you're excited about it. I bet you can't. I know you can't wait to go. We'll be covering it on each and every show, I'm sure, little tidbits of your trip. And then when you get, I can't wait to do your trip report when you're home. And that's going to be about it for this week. We went long-winded on the news,
yep.
Which basically Sundays, that's what our Sunday show is all about, the news. If we add little things at the end, it's a little bonus. But for the most part, we like to, I love to discuss the latest news going on down at the in the world. That's the fun of Sunday.
Yeah, we dissect and analyze the news. How's that?
Exactly. We give it our little spin. As good as it is or bad as it is, you're getting our little spin on the news.
Exactly. We enjoy it.
Well, that's why we do this. I like to vent on what they're doing down there, good or bad.
Right, right.
$50 to buy stuff? Bad.
Bad Disney. Bad Disney.
Exactly. The food and wine performers?
Good.
Very good.
Yes.
So they're 50-50 this week.
There you go.
So, but that's going to be it for us this week, guys. Please go over and give us a Halloween treat, a fall treat, and give us a review on iTunes. You've been slacking a little bit on us. We'd really appreciate some reviews. We really appreciate our Godfather review, but
yeah.
We need some more. Please head over to Twitter or Facebook. Give us all your feedback you want. If you can give us instant messenger on Facebook. We will respond to you guys, and have a wonderful week. You have anything else, Dan?
No, I'm good. Have a wonderful week also, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Oh, talk to you guys later. Have some pumpkin cider on us. Talk to you later. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.